With which I have ever
a servant of the Lord, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. Amen.
King Arad, the Canaanite,
which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies. Then he forgot, or then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hands, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of that place Hormah. And they journeyed from the mouth of Hor, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And all the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he would take away these serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when they look upon it, they shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. So far. This morning's epistle, Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So far the epistle lesson.
According to the words of the
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, but in all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was given to man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge all the quick and dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic Church and apostolic church. I count it one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our sermon here. Please be grace, mercy, and peace of our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is the saving look, and it's based upon our Old Testament lesson. And I would like to read the final verse of that lesson from Numbers chapter 21. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent bit anyone, when he looked upon that serpent of brass, he lived. So far, please be seated. The emblem of the cross is no doubt the emblem most used to represent the way of salvation in the Christian church. Some churches have elaborate crosses made of wood, made of stone, made of marble. Why do we place the cross in such a prominent position? Our cross is above the altar. We have one on the altar. Because the cross is a symbol of salvation. A salvation from sin, death, and the power of the devil. The cross is the hope of eternal life. Jesus said about himself, "And I will be lifted up from the earth, and I will draw all unto myself." He also said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Christ chose the emblem of the cross to represent the way of salvation for all. If we are to be saved from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and inherit eternal life, we too must look to the cross of Christ. This morning, let's consider the saving look. God promised the children of Israel that they were to end up in Egypt, and that he would deliver them from the slavery. Not only the slavery from the Egyptians, but also from the slavery of sin. To give them the promised land where they could live as an independent nation. God promised that if they would worship and serve him alone, he would give them a land of flowing with milk and honey. And through Abraham, the seed of all nations, all of the earth would be blessed. At first, the children of Israel were very anxious to leave Egypt and enter the Holy Land. But whenever things became a little difficult, they complained. They disbelieved the gracious promises of God, and they actually wanted to return back to Egypt under the tyranny of Egypt. This complaining against God and Moses continued from the very time they left Egypt until the final entry into the Promised Land. It started already at the crossing of the Red Sea, when the children of Israel were being pursued by the Egyptian army, and there seemed to be no escape. They complained to Moses for bringing them to this place to die. Well, God forgave their sin of complaining. And he provided a way of escape by opening the sea and permitting them to cross on dry land. And when they came to the wilderness and their food supply ran out, once again they complained that Moses had brought them out into the wilderness to die. Again, God had mercy on them and provided manna and quail to nourish them for their journey. Well, the same thing happened when they were without water. God miraculously provided for them water. At Mount Sinai, when Moses was on the mount receiving the law, the Ten Commandments, to rule and guide them as God's chosen people, again they complained that God and Moses had forsaken them. And they made a golden calf. And they worshiped that golden calf. But this time God's patience came to an end. He informed Moses that he would destroy this rebellious people. But Moses pleaded with God, "Have mercy on them." God listened, and God spared the people. Well, God heard the prayer of Moses, and it continued to lead them on toward that promised land. However, this was not the end of their complaining. All along the way, they complained about the food, about the water, about Moses and Aaron as their leaders. You name it, they complained about it. And at times when they complained against God, God punished them with death. When Korah and his followers rebelled against Moses and Aaron, God caused the earth to open up and swallow them. On this occasion, according to our text, God punished their complaints by sending fiery serpents among them. And these fiery serpents bit the people, and many died. God is a holy and just God. He will not permit rebellion and disobedience to go unpunished. God warned them on Mount Sinai that he was a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. While God punishes rebellion and disobedience, he also offers a way for repentance and forgiveness. And when the people suffered the pain from the bite of these fiery serpents, they were reminded of their sins, and this suffering led to their repentance. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Ask the Lord, please, to take away the serpents from us." Well, Moses prayed for the people, and God heard the prayer and gave him instructions to make a fiery serpent and to set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that anyone who was bitten, when they looked upon that pole, that serpent, they would live. Moses followed the instructions, and God provided a way of salvation. You see, the children of Israel had lost their faith in God's protection. They were tired of this hardship. They had given up hope. But now God gives them another opportunity by looking to that brazen serpent on that pole, and the people were spared their life, forgiven of their sins, and given new courage and hope that God would lead them safely to the promised land. And as the children of Israel had to look to the brazen serpent for their redemption, we too must look to the cross of Jesus Christ to be saved from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, and from hell itself. As Moses lifted up the serpent and fastened it to a pole, so Christ must be lifted up on that cross, so that he might conquer sin and death for us, reconciling us back to God our Father and giving us eternal life. There is only one way to remove the guilt and the punishment of sin, and that is through Christ's shed blood on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. Whenever we need the forgiveness of sins, whenever we need daily remembrance of the cross, because it was on that cross that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, that Jesus Christ suffered and died. Yes, remember that cross, but don't go to the cross looking for forgiveness. Why? It ain't there. The cross no longer exists. Go to the altar, for the altar does exist. And by this, Martin Luther meant, go to the altar of Holy Communion, for Holy Communion does exist. For in and through Holy Communion, we do receive the very body and blood that once graced that cross, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for us for the remission of sin. Yes, let us remember the cross, but let us kneel at God's communion altar, where we will indeed receive the blessings of the forgiveness of sins, the comfort, the courage, and the strength that we need to face day in and day out. May God grant this to each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life, heaven. Amen.
Amen.
many needs that need to be addressed to God through prayer. So let us pray. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, call us unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to give us the love of the heavenly things that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament into damnation. Take off from us this body garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated. watch this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he came to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament, and my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
The true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you.
bless you, keep you, and save you, grace and protect you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The Lord bless you, and keep you, and his grace and protect you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The Lord bless you, and keep you, and save you, grace and protect you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The Lord bless you, and keep you, and his grace and protect you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Now may this body of blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you, and the one true faith for the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
depart in the Lord's peace. Amen. Beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.